427 cantigas, or songs, were written and preserved at the illustrious court of Alfonso the Wise, who was king of Castile in the mid-1200s. Most of these songs pay homage to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Today's song, Cantiga No. 10, is especially interesting because it shows how religious thinking in the 13th century was strongly influenced by the surrounding contemporary culture. The same is, of course, true of Christianity today. Look no farther than the rise of the cult of Christian nationalism, likely the largest cult to ever exist in the United States. Secular culture colors the religious thinking of every era, and the 13th century was no exception. During the 13th century, many secular poets were attached to the various courts in Castile, Spain, and southern France. These poets were interested in developing one theme primarily, that which we call courtly love. According to their poetry, a man should idealize from afar and love from afar only the most worthy lady, who may not, in fact, be his wife. These poets were, of course, singing about platonic rather than sexual love. A young knight might, for instance, compose his anonymous poems and songs for a beautiful young lady who might just happen to be married to the lord of the castle. Meanwhile, our young lady's older husband, the lord of the castle, might be paying another troubadour to compose verses anonymously for a woman who was not his wife. When royal marriages were arranged, such things happened, and they could get rather complicated. Today's cantiga was written in a court where this type of courtly love poetry was heard nearly every day and was much admired. However, it was also a court in which all people were expected to pay homage to God. But since God was thought to be basically unapproachable, much like the king, who certainly did not have time to hear everybody's petition and complaint, you had to go through Jesus, or better still, use Mary's good graces, because it was believed that Jesus never refused anything that Mary asked of him. So people paid homage to Mary, who was thought to be compassionate and understanding. Some poets wrote poetry to her as part of their homage, just as if they had been courtly lovers. People of the 13th century also referred to Mary by using metaphors. Among the more popular metaphors were flowers, such as the white lily, white symbolizing purity, or the rose was another popular flower used as a metaphor for Mary. Our cantiga calls Mary the rose of roses, the flower of flowers, the lady of all ladies. Now we can begin to understand the thinking of our poet as he speaks of, quote, the rose of beauty and fine appearance, and as the flower of happiness and pleasure. This information about Mary cannot be found in the Gospels, but it is the language of secular poets extolling the object of their affection, and consequently we have courtly love ideas being intertwined with the adoration of Mary. In the second stanza, such a mistress everybody should love. Well, that is courtly love language. But the next phrase is different. For she can ward away any evil and pardon any sinner, and this takes us into the sacred sphere. Stanza 3, the phrase, we should love and serve her loyally, that could come from almost any secular love poem. But the words about errors made as sinners can only refer to religious matters. Finally, in stanza 4, the poet comes right out and uses secular courtly love language. Quote, "This lady, whom I acknowledge as my master and whose troubadour I would gladly be, I'd give up all my other lovers," end quote. Troubadours were the courtly musicians who sang their poems of courtly love, either on their own behalf or, more typically, on behalf of somebody who paid them. So today's song has the language of courtly love used in homage of Mary. It's interesting to ponder this devotional music from the vantage point of some 800 years. I wonder what people will say about our songs of faith 800 years from now.